Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Dorsey Wright video for Monday, June the 25th. I'm Jay Gragnani.
I'm Steve Raymond.
I'm Jamie West.
And happy summer.
Yeah.
It's here in full effect. The heat is here. The children are out of school. Summer camps are in full swing. And it's hard to believe that this is the last week in the first half of the year.
Yeah.
The second quarter will come to an end at the end of this week. And, you know, when we look out, there's been a lot of individual stock noise happening here over the course of the past couple of weeks that we wanted to bring your attention to. And really what we've seen over the past week is a lot of the major indexes, a lot of individual stock and big indexes pulling back towards what we would consider to be at this point more normal levels. A lot of this year really has seen the indexes, the S&P 500, go through a period of consolidation. All of the major indexes continue to be in positive trends today. And so from a longer term perspective, U.S. equities as an asset class continues to rank number one within our Dolly system. And, you know, we'll look at some of the other pockets of strength in there. But when, you know, one of the big news items that came out last week that takes effect this week is specifically as it relates to the Dow Jones Industrial Average. The components of that index is undergoing a change for the first time in about 3 years now. I think 2015 was the last time that we saw some of the underlying stocks inside the Dow change. General Electric is coming out after having been a staple there for well over the past 100 years. Walgreens moving into that index, and that takes effect this week. So interesting development there, and you know, it's not necessarily one of those things where buying the stocks that go into the Dow average historically have played out very well over the, you know, the next year or so. It's not the Dow, in other words, has not historically been a very good timing mechanism for buying stocks that go in.
No, historically you'd actually do better to buy the stocks that are coming out than the ones that are going
yeah.
in.
Yeah. It's pretty interesting. Nonetheless, it's happening. And one of the things that when you look at the Dow stocks,
it was an official recommendation to buy GE
on Friday.
That was not.
Okay. But it's, you know, it is one of those things. It's interesting, and it's always a reminder, you know, once every couple of years that you're reminded that the Dow is not an index that's like the S&P 500 or like, you know, the NASDAQ 100. It's a price-weighted index, and despite GE still being a company that's worth well over $100 billion, it had become, as the stock price of GE had declined, it had become, frankly, the least important stock in the Dow. It was the lowest weighted stock in the Dow with a price of $13. And Walgreens moving into it's actually going to make Walgreens more important to the Dow than GE had become. And you know, it's just pretty interesting with GE, Walgreens, I think was around $68, $70 a share. So it's actually going to move in there, making Pfizer now the least important stock in the Dow. So pretty interesting stuff. But the Dow has not been where a lot of the story this year has been. The story in terms of strength, it hasn't been in your big blue chip industrials, the large value type of stuff. That's not really where the strength has been this year. It's really come from the growth side and a lot of the technology areas.
Yeah, in fact, you know, the middle of the market, your core market, your growth side of the market, you know, really carried the year. Either way, the core percentile rank of the S&P 500 related funds has been moving up, you know, this quarter, but we just hit another peak. We're at the 90th percentile Friday.
So that's the S&P 500 index.
Right. The related funds, you know, as an asset class, and where do they rank compared to all asset classes around the world, we just hit the 90th percentile. Mm-hmm. So it's a very strong reading. Now, one of the things to think about is that if the S&P 500 is strong, it tends to provide, you know, stability to the U.S. markets. It allows other groups to, you know, do what they want to do a little more comfortably. And that's what we see. So we have a very strong core dominant market, and then we have the ability, and we see that small caps, for example, are actually the leading relative strength asset class, small growth specifically. But all this, in fact, it was last week, I believe, that small value just crossed the four score line for the first time this year. And so that means that all small cap tranches of the styles are above four, with small growth leading, that's its namesake, micro cap leading in score direction, meaning in rapid improvement, that's its namesake, small value crossing above four for the first time in a while, that's its namesake. But either way, you've got some small cap opportunities, you know, in the U.S. to take advantage of, which you should do, right? Yeah. And we don't see the value side, like JG mentioned, you know, the value, even the hyper value funds on the left side of the market, meaning the larger core value funds. We just don't see that any leadership there yet. We may, but it's not really on the radar. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're still in a, what you would call a core centric or a growth type market.
Yeah.
Footprint.
Yeah. Which is, it's a tough market for markets looking for income purposes. You know, a lot of those large value type of names, those are a lot of the names that you and your clients look to for stability, but also the income that's generated off of it. Which, and what you've seen so far this year is, while the income has been there, you haven't seen, you know, by and large, the income's been there from some of these, you know, just the big, you know, traditional large value type of stocks and staples and utilities, but the price stability hasn't been there this year. And so, you know, with that said, there's, you know, what we have, one model that we have on our site, just the yield portfolio. It's a model of five stocks that is designed to go through the S&P 500 universe and pull out the 40 highest yielding names in that universe, and then look to buy five of the stronger names out of the 40 highest yielding names. Just last week, I know many of you follow that model, but just last week we saw a change, seeing Macy's actually move into that model, symbol M. And Macy's is a pretty interesting picture here. It's got a three attribute stock. It's got a yield north of 4%. And in, you know, our world today, in the world of Amazon, it's pretty interesting to see some of these, you know, traditional retailers doing well. But Macy's is a stock that, if you go back, it has been in a negative trend for the past 3 years. It's been a weak attribute stock for the past 3 years now. And just over the course of the past month, that stock has moved back into a positive trend. The technical attributes have moved up to a three. So it's a very interesting development that's taking place within, you know, that particular name, not to speak about the group broadly, but out of the 88 stocks that we have classified in the retailing space, Macy's is number 12. And so it's in the top, you know, 20% of all retailing stocks out there. So, you know, that's certainly one name in particular, but the model at large is one to consider. It's got a couple of other energy names in there, like Chevron is another name that's in that particular model. But that's certainly something to take a look at on the income side, especially given, you know, the uncertainty, or, well, I don't know what to call it anymore, on interest rates. But, you know, your fixed income portfolio, interest rates is certainly lots of news. Everybody's watching it. And so, you know, that's certainly an interesting story and picture that's still developing, I think.
Yeah, I think that's right. You know, we've seen rates generally rising throughout this year, although they seem to have peaked in May for the most part, and it backed off somewhat. It's never certain if they're going to hold here, but there does seem to be a little bit more stability than we've seen, you know, in the beginning months of the year.
Yeah.
And, you know, to your point about the yield portfolio, I think it kind of reiterates something else we've talked about, which is individual stock selection has become really important this year. You've seen the yield portfolio actually outperform the S&P 500, but you've seen the broader-based yield ETFs not perform very well. Mm-hmm. You know, they own a lot more stocks. And so it really kind of shows how stock selection has been important this year.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. And, you know, a lot of those ETFs that you mentioned, they're going to have overweighted exposure to the areas that traditionally own or that are traditionally dividend payers. So things like utilities, things like REITs, things like staples, where, you know, a model like that model particular, but, you know, other models as well, they're not going to be confined to have to own every area of the market. They're going to try and find the leadership trends that persist given their universe, whether it's individual stocks, like in the case of that model, or you know, sectors, as in the case of the other models out there on the website. So,
yeah, and back to Jamie's point, you know, as the as the rates have downticked a little bit, I mean, it's provided some stability to the average fixed income fund. 2 months ago, or over the rolling 60 days, the average fixed income mutual fund or ETF of any kind averaged below the score of the money market. Okay. Well, and it has come back up a little bit, you know, a little bit above money market now. So we've come from, you know, kind of a very distressed bond pricing issue for anyone in asset allocation endeavors this year. But, you know, there could be some stability during this, you know, seasonal slowdown this summer. That's not a prediction. It's just it could be. And, you know, you take advantage of that and check your weighting schemes and your strategic allocations and, you know, take a look at the evidence as it rolls in. I mean, there are some bond tranches that are, in some leadership, but when people are saying, well, where's that general fixed income fund that, you know, I used to put in my, you know, in my model? Well, you know, those prices seem to have stabilized a little bit. And you know, that might continue, that may not. But one thing's for sure. When you're doing your allocations, is which I think is the big news. I think it's been the big news for a month, is the utter meltdown in the non-U.S. areas. Mm. You know, striking. I would use that word, breathtaking, maybe. Where, you know, the non-U.S. has been a factor to talk about for the last 2 years. You know, had been doing better, but a quick turnaround. You know, and I know a lot of us might ask, well, you know, what's been going on out there? Well, one thing's for sure, you know, scores have fallen in mainline Latin America funds from 4.5. They just reached the level of 1 in score Friday, possibly sub 1 over this week. Brazil, not a bad ETF to own, let's say, months and months ago, now scores at 0. And then other effects on other non-U.S. areas has led the bullish percent, short-term bullish percent for the non-U.S. funds to get down to 20% as we speak today. So really only 20% of the funds in the general area of non-U.S., which is anywhere in non-U.S., are in a short-term buy signal. And these scores coming down are affecting a strategic allocation, and I think they're making some big noise. So you need to be vigilant on your inventory and taking a look at how to do what I think that Jamie and JG suggested earlier is you need to be very selective. You know, which fund do I own? What kind? Is it hedged or unhedged? Is it this or that? Makes a huge difference. And of course, you know, the negatives I'm speaking of are some things that you've got to handle this summer. All negative cycles will eventually lead to an offensive cycle, so you have to watch for that as well. But I think that's the big threat to the general asset allocation endeavor over the summer. So what do I, you know, it had been the story, what do I do with my fixed income piece? And I think we're still in the story of what do I do with my non-US piece? You know, to make it through to the seasonally strong cycle of November. Of course, those seasonal cycles tend to be U.S. dominant, and we're talking on the topic of non-U.S., but I do think there's a sympathy with non-U.S. as to what the U.S. is doing. But yeah, I think we, as we get through the middle of the summer, non-U.S. evaluation of inventory and non-U.S. ideas are critical to get those right.
Yeah, and I mean, we talked last week in the report, the bogey check for international equities failed in Dali. EEM very specifically violated a notable area of support and trend line to the downside. So there's some of this evidence is starting to mount against international equities, to your point of things deteriorating quickly, and it did happen pretty quick. With that said, a lot of the currency hedged products that are out there have benefited in this environment for international equities because of what's gone on with the underlying currencies. The dollar has been strong. That has helped the currency hedge stuff as the other, as the foreign currencies have fallen. Those products have hedged out some of that currency risk. So they're still taking a hit on the equity side, but they're not taking the double hit on the currency side there. So something like a DBEF is a Deutsche Bank EFA currency hedge product in there. So that would be something to take a look at today if you're looking for areas of that you want to look at for international exposure on the currency hedge side of things. But if you own things like EEM or VWO, those big emerging market ETFs, those have, again, violated a notable support, moved into negative trends, probably worth taking action on today to the extent that you can reduce the emerging market exposure today. So, anything else? There's a lot going on for the last week of June, Monday.
Huh?
Yeah, for a quiet Monday. So, with that, as always, we certainly thank you for joining us this week, and we look forward to be back on with you next week.